my dreams, I'd ride the rails to California. Work in diners and farms along the way. Or I'd hop a ride to hide across the border with a black-eyed girl beside me all the way.
Hello and welcome back to the Up North Podcast. I figured we had to play some Jim Croce Railroad music because we're talking about that on this segment.
I was super tempted to go get a stick and tie all my belongings up to the bottom of the stick and then throw it over my shoulder as I was listening to that music, Kirk.
Yeah, so this next segment, we're gonna talk to Richard Harnish, and if you're watching, you're watching the podcast, he's on right now. Thanks for joining us, Richard. He's the executive director of the High Speed Rail Alliance. I believe it's kind of the Midwest area. So thanks for joining us, Richard.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So our audience might be wondering, we just talked about Congressman Pocan's reactions to the January 6th hearings, and why the heck are we going to talk about rail in Wisconsin next? Well, there is an actual good segue here. The segue is misinformation has led to Wisconsin, Trump saying that the election was rigged in Wisconsin, and misinformation led to us losing a wonderful opportunity to get rail between Milwaukee and Madison. I'll do the quick story, but I'm sure Rick, you know, has got a bigger story and he's going to tell us what's going on now. But basically, it was during the Obama years, there was a stimulus bill passed, and there was money, you know, federal money that was given to projects that were already in place. And there was a rail project in place that I believe was started by Tommy Thompson, our Republican governor, and then carried through by Jim Doyle, our Democratic governor. And we got some money to the tune of around $50 million, I believe. And Rick, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it was to buy some awesome rail cars from a company in Spain and to build this track. And the same type of misinformation that we got that said that the elections were rigged in Wisconsin was the information that was given by our Republican governor, Scott Walker, who said somehow or another, Wisconsin is not going to have the money to keep maintaining this rail, even though there would have been all this wonderful economic development progress in Wisconsin that would have probably created those dollars. So that's we lost that opportunity. And Rick, I would like you to correct my story if I'm at all wrong. Tell us the history in your own words, and then tell us now, hopefully, what's happened 12 years later to rail in Wisconsin.
So it is true that Tommy Thompson was a strong leader on expanding Amtrak service across the not just Wisconsin, but the Midwest, and Wisconsin staffed the effort to create a multi-state plan that included Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Minnesota, Iowa, and Missouri. And the first expansions of Amtrak service from that plan that were put together under Tommy Thompson's leadership were improving the service between Chicago and Detroit, improving the service between Chicago and St. Louis, and extending the Amtrak Hiawatha from, it today goes between Chicago and Milwaukee, and extending that to Madison. And that did include really cool trains that would be less expensive to operate than the standard Amtrak trains. So it was a really great project that was put together by Tommy Thompson. The money happened to come during the Doyle administration, but I think it was part of an effort to kill passenger rail in general across the country, and Wisconsin was just a major player in that effort through Governor Walker. It's unfortunate because you'd have great trains running today to Madison, and you'd be staged to having great trains to Green Bay and Neenah, et cetera. And that would mean better bus service to upper Wisconsin.
So just remind us, didn't we have to pay an exorbitant amount of money in a lawsuit to get, we refused the money from the federal government, but then because we had made a contract with this company that was making us trains in Spain, we had to pay them money too, right? What was the result of this?
Well, and construction was, so the tracks are already there between Milwaukee and Madison. Between Watertown and Madison, they're actually owned by the state. And so there was some construction on the upgrades to those tracks that was already underway. And the state had to pay penalties for that, for getting out of those contracts, and also penalties for getting out of the contract with the railroad. But, you know, it's an unfortunate story, but now you've got this great opportunity to do it right, because there is now, again, money available. The state already knows what needs to happen, and it's time to make it happen. And it shouldn't just be about Milwaukee and Madison. It should be about Eau Claire. It should be about Green Bay. It should be about much better bus service across the state. It really needs to be a statewide effort to improve transportation for everybody.
So, and it's because there's an opportunity now because they just passed this infrastructure budget, like gajillions of dollars that, you know, under the Biden, that was the one thing that they passed that was somewhat bipartisan in the last few months was this infrastructure bill. So where are we in, do you know if the High Speed Rail Alliance is involved with applying for some of these grants to get some of that money?
So our role, we're an educational nonprofit.
Okay.
Our role is to help people understand why we should build fast, frequent, and affordable trains, and what steps they can take to make it happen on their own behalf. So we don't actually get involved in the implementation. But because of this, so there was a lot of money in there for highways and a tiny little bit for passenger rail. But because of that tiny little bit, there now is the opportunity for Wisconsin to aggressively apply for those funds. But the state has to do it. The state DOT has to go to the FRA and say, we want to do this. So what really needs to happen is people that want good trains and good buses across the state need to tell the governor and the legislature, make this happen.
So Rich, I'm up in Green Bay. And as you know, we have a football team up here. And it's a really good football team. And we are drawing people from all over the state, but especially population centers. So it would be wonderful for people to hop on a train and be able to come up here and go to the games, be able to appreciate all of the other things that Green Bay has to offer without having to drive their cars and being so much more environmentally responsible, economically responsible. There are so many benefits. Can you talk a little bit about the major benefits that this brings to the everyday Wisconsinite?
Well, you know, I actually was in Green Bay last Friday. And I got to tell you, after a very, very busy week and wanting to drive home and see my family, it was hard to stay focused on that drive. Mm-hmm. And that scares me. Mm-hmm. It took me, there was a lot of driving that I did through that week in general because we don't have good trains. It took me until Sunday to recover physically from the sitting around, but you have to pay attention.
Right.
So it's safer. It's more comfortable. I could have been either sleeping or working or watching a movie if I hadn't been driving. So it's a much nicer way to travel. It's also a lot less expensive. So, you know, we think about the price of gas. Typically, the Amtrak ticket is around the price of gas, perhaps lower. But there's all kinds of other costs that go into that. And then for our cities, because we've designed our cities and we tore down so many valuable buildings in our cities to build surface parking lots, our cities are really hurting financially because they don't have the tax base that they need to support the road infrastructure. So trains can be a catalyst for making more walkable communities, which are much more financially stable and, again, safer. and you'll bump into people on the street and you have conversations with people on the street. Maybe you run into somebody that has different ideas than you and you share ideas and you learn to work together better. It's less isolating. So it can be a catalyst for many things, but the most important thing is it's better travel for in many cases.
Mm-hmm. So the, now I was reviewing, you have a great website that kind of educates the public about all the different reasons why rail is better for transit. One of the things I read was that, you know, connecting cities, you know, like this line after Madison could go to Eau Claire and places potentially in between and then go to Minneapolis. The line that connects Chicago to Milwaukee can be extended to all the areas of the Fox Valley, Appleton, Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, it stops along the way. All these cities who are connected by rail now have, you know, there's a lot of economic benefits to that, economic development benefits. You can have commuters from much further away, you know, so you can draw on workers from further away. You have the interconnectedness between cities, which helps all the cities and helps tourism throughout all the cities. That's what I read. I mean, am I on with that, or are there other benefits besides the one I've said?
Oh, absolutely. That's absolutely true. You know, and it's not just about big city to big city. While I was in Green Bay, I was talking to someone who was in La Crosse on, this was in the last couple of weeks. They were in La Crosse on a specific day, and the next day they needed to be at a wedding at Devil's Lake, and their wife was coming down from Green Bay. So he was able to take the train to Portage, and then she picked him up and took him to the wedding. So it's that kind of thing. It's small trips that maybe don't quite make sense for driving, or maybe do, or, you know, it's a lot of different stuff. It's the Amish, you know, I loved taking the train to Tomah one time, and it was like being on the subway where everybody stands up before they announce the station stop because they know the station's coming, right? I was on a car of Amish, and before they announced the station stop for Tomah, everybody on the car got up and started getting their luggage. They're taking that train all the time. So there's lots and lots of benefits. There's also the issue that highways are really wide, take up a lot of land. You get the stuff dropping off the car into the water that you don't want in the water. The tires rubbing off into the water. So there's many benefits. It's hard to describe them.
I just love to hear you talking about all of this community building. I mean, when you were talking earlier about it's walkable and you can have conversations with people and you can get exercise. I'm a physician and I have a master's in public health. And we talked a lot about these communities where you get out and you can walk to the grocery store, ride your bike to the grocery store. And we just don't have that sense of community anymore. So I wonder, Rich, do you have an idea of a place, a city or a country where they use rail effectively and in a way that you would like to see us replicate that?
Well, the exciting thing is that there are many different places that have done passenger rail very well. Frankly, it's most of the world. North and South America are outliers for some reason. So Asia and Europe, it's pretty standard. Africa, kind of middling. But that's one of the things I love is, like another example, I was in London one time and I had a meeting. I didn't know how long the meeting was going to go for. So as soon as the meeting was over, I walked, and the meeting was in the train station in London. I walked down to the ticket counter and I said, I want to be in Marseille. Now, London to Marseille is like going from Minneapolis to Cincinnati. And I said, I want to go to Marseille. And they said, well, there's a train in 10 minutes and there's a train in 20 minutes. And I said, I'll take the one in 20 minutes. And 5 hours later, I was in the middle of Marseille, and it's beautiful. You get off the train station, the hotels are there, there's restaurants there, there's this beautiful view of the bay, and you walk down the stairs and you're in the main business district. There's examples like that all over, where you come out of the train station, you're there. And that's big cities and small cities. That's one thing that we should be striving for.
Okay, so Rick, we got about 2 minutes left, and I just want to, we have a very polarized government in Wisconsin, probably one of the worst in the United States. What is it going to take for them to join hands and do the right thing and get good rail in Wisconsin? I mean, what are the hurdles we have to overcome?
So the biggest thing is people who want to be able to ride the train, people who want the benefits to their communities, that trains bring, they need to communicate with their leaders in Madison often, and make it clear that this is something they really want. This isn't an issue that needs to be polarized like that. The communities that have the biggest access issues typically tend to be rural and small towns. And those areas need to make it clear that they need good train access.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And those are our people. We're the Up North podcast, right?
Absolutely.
Those are the people we're trying to talk to.
That's right.
I have to go to Escanaba next week. And it really annoys me. I'm going to spend a day of driving, a day in Escanaba, and a day of driving. Mm-hmm. That's not the way it should be. Escanaba should be served by trains with, I forgot what the stop would be in the north of Green Bay, but it would be part of the Green Bay service going on.
Marinette Menominee. And it's such a beautiful ride. Why have to spend all your time driving and getting tired? Enjoy the ride. Rich, thank you so much for being here with us and for sharing your perspective. I don't know about you, Kirk, but I feel enlightened. I'm happy.
I know. I want to fight harder for rail. We don't bring it up nearly enough.
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you for having me.